Usury, riba. Usury, riba, is the practice of assigning a fee on credit and other borrowed assets on top of the principal borrowed amount, thus making a profit on the loan, which is strictly prohibited in Islam due to the harm and injustice involved in it. Riba is of different types, but the most serious type of riba, and thus the one that is all the more unlawful, is one relating to loans and debts. It covers any stipulated additional amount over the principal in a transaction of loan or debt, and is of two types. Riba on debts. This type of riba exists in every debt, which carries a stipulation binding the debtor to pay to the creditor any sum of money in excess of the principal sum of the debt. Example: John borrows £1,000 from Martin and promises to pay it back after a month. However, John finds himself unable to pay the debt off after a month, and so Martin, the creditor, stipulates that John either pays the debt off without any excess of the principal sum of debt, or pay £1,100 after another month. If, however, he still cannot possibly pay that sum off after a month, Martin will defer payment another month, on condition that John pays £1,200. Riba on loans. In this type of riba, a person takes out a loan from another person or from a bank with the stipulation at the time of the contract that the borrower must pay an annual interest both parties agree upon of, say, 5% on the borrowed amount to the lender. Example: John is interested in a house which is worth £100,000 but does not have enough money to purchase it. So he takes out a loan from the bank on condition that he must pay the bank £150,000 in monthly instalments over a period of 5 years. Riba is strictly forbidden in Islam and is one of the major sins as long as the loan is taken out with interest, whether it is an investment loan for financing a business or industry, or purchasing a vital asset such as a house or property, or a consumer loan for personal, family, or household purposes. However, purchasing goods in installments at a price higher than the actual price paid in cash is not considered a form of riba. Example: a person has the choice to purchase a kitchen appliance for £1,000 and pay for it in cash, or for £1,200 in monthly installments, paying a monthly amount of £100 to owner of the store from which he purchased the appliance. The Islamic ruling on riba. Textual evidence from the Quran and the Prophet's traditions points out that riba is strictly forbidden in Islam, that it is one of the major sins, and that Allah has not declared war on any one of the sinners except those who deal with riba. In fact, riba is forbidden not only in Islam, but also in all previous divine religions. Such a ruling, however, was changed after numerous distortions crept into the religious texts of such religions and altered many other rulings. Allah mentioned that He inflicted punishment on a group of the people of the Book for their taking usury, although it had been forbidden to them. Surat An-Nisa 4:161. Punishment for riba. 1. Those who engage in usurious transactions expose themselves to a war which Allah and His Messenger have declared on those who deal with riba, thereby becoming their enemies. As the Quran states, if you do not do so, be warned of war from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, you may have your capital without wronging and without being wronged. Surat Al-Baqarah 2:279. Indeed, such a war leaves devastating physical and psychological effects, and the numerous forms of deep anxiety and depression that have afflicted people these days are some signs of such a war which Allah has declared on those who disobey His commands by engaging in usurious transactions. The effects of such war in the hereafter will be far worse than one can possibly imagine. 2. Those who engage in usurious transactions in any way are deprived of Allah's mercy. Jabir ibn Abdullah narrated, Allah's Messenger cursed the person who accepts usury, interest, the one who gives it, the one who records it, and the two witnesses to it. He said, they are all sinners. Sahih Muslim, 1598. 3. They will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in such an unsightly manner that they will be staggering, jerking, and shaking, like someone suffering from madness or experiencing epileptic seizures. As the Quran states, those who take unlawful interest will stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment as those who suffer from a mental imbalance because of Satan's touch. Surat Al-Baqarah 2:275. 4. Profits made from usurious transactions, no matter how massive they may look, will be deprived of all blessing, and those who make use of such profits will find neither happiness nor peace of mind. As the Quran states, Allah deprives usurious gains of all blessing, whereas He blesses charitable deeds with manifold increase. Surat Al-Baqarah 2:276. What is the ruling regarding a person who embraces Islam while he is a party to a usurious contract? This involves two cases. 1. If he is the party that takes interest, he is only entitled to his capital and must desist, as soon as he embraces Islam, from taking any interest whatsoever. As the Quran states, but if you repent, you may have your capital without wronging and without being wronged. Surat Al-Baqarah 2:279. If he receives any further interest after embracing Islam, he can get rid of it by donating it to charity to support charitable causes. 2. If he is the party that pays interest, two cases are involved here. If he can cancel the contract without incurring huge losses, then he must do so. If, however, he cannot cancel the contract except by incurring huge losses, he may fulfill the terms of the contract, but must show strong determination not to enter into such contracts ever again in the future. As the Quran states, whoever is given a warning by his Lord and then desists may keep what he received in the past, and his affair is Allah's concern. As for those who return to it, they will be the companions of the fire, remaining in it timelessly, forever. Surat Al-Baqarah 2:275. Deception through ignorance and uncertainty. Gara. A contract that is based on uncertainty and ignorance, gara, is one which involves a certain amount of risk or deception, which is bound to lead to disagreements and disputes between the parties to the contract or cause one of them to wrong another. Islam has strictly forbidden this type of contract in order to block the means to disputes and all forms of injustice. In fact, it declares it prohibited even if it may be an acceptable practice amongst people, for the Prophet has forbidden sales which involve deception through ignorance. Sahih Muslim 15:13. Examples of sales contracts that involve deception through ignorance. 1. Selling fruits before they ripen and become ready for picking. Indeed, the Prophet has forbidden the sale of dates until their benefit becomes evident and suitable for eating, for there is a chance that they may become decayed and never ripen. 2. Paying a certain amount of money to purchase a box without knowing whether its contents are valuable or worthless. Circumstances under which gara, ignorance and uncertainty, may affect the contract. Ignorance and uncertainty, gara, may only affect the contract and render it impermissible if the contract involves a great deal of it and if it relates to the object of the contract. Therefore, a Muslim may purchase a house even if he is not aware of such things as the type of building materials used in the construction of the house and the type of paint used in painting it, for such ignorance is rather trivial and does not affect the object of the contract. Injustice and wrongfully taking other people's property. Injustice is one of the most heinous deeds against which Islam has vehemently warned. The Prophet said in this connection, beware of injustice, for indeed injustice will be darkness on the Day of Judgment. Sahih al-Bukhari 2315, Sahih Muslim 2579. Indeed, Islam considers the act of taking other people's property wrongfully, no matter how small it may be, one of the most odious sins, and warns those who commit it against severe punishment in the hereafter. As the Prophet said, if anyone takes a span of land unjustly, its extent, taken from seven earths, will be tied round his neck on the Day of Resurrection. Sahih al-Bukhari 2321, Sahih Muslim 1610. Examples of forms of injustice committed in business transactions. 1. Coercion. A transaction that is conducted under coercion in any form whatsoever invalidates the contract. Indeed, mutual consent between the parties to the contract is a necessary condition for the validity of a business transaction. As the Prophet once observed, a sale is a sale only if it is made through mutual consent. Sunan ibn Majah, 2185. 2. Dishonesty. Deceiving other people to take their property wrongfully is one of the major sins. As the Prophet said, whoever cheats us is not one of us. Sahih Muslim, 101. Once, while the Prophet was walking in the market, he passed by a pile of food and put his hands inside it. Feeling water on his fingers, he turned to the seller of the food and said, what is this? It was left out in the rain, Messenger of Allah, he replied. Why don't you put the wet food on top of the pile so that people can see it? The Prophet disapprovingly said, whoever deceives us is not one of us. Sunan at-Tirmidhi, 1315. 3. Manipulating the law. Some cunning people, when presenting their cases in court, speak in honeyed tones and in a convincing manner in order to take other people's property wrongfully, not realizing that even if the judge rules in their favor, he cannot possibly turn falsehood into truth. Addressing some of his companions once, the Prophet said, I am only a human being, and litigants come to me to settle their disputes. It may be that one of you may present his case more eloquently and in a more convincing way than his opponent, whereby I may consider him to be in the right and thus pass a judgment in his favor based on what I have heard. Therefore, if I ever give the right of a Muslim to another by mistake, while he knows that he is in the wrong, then the one in the wrong must not take, for I will actually be giving him only a piece of fire. Sahih al-Bukhari, 6748. Sahih Muslim, 1713. 4. Bribery. Bribery is a sum of money given, or a service rendered, in order to influence the judgment or conduct of a person in a position of trust, and thus get something illegally. Islam considers bribery one of the most atrocious forms of injustice, and the most heinous sins. The Prophet went as far as to curse those who give bribes, and those who accept them. Sunan at-Tirmidhi, 1337. When bribery becomes widespread, it destroys the very fabric of society and affects its development and prosperity. What is the Islamic ruling regarding a person who has taken people's property before embracing Islam? If a person embraces Islam while he is still in possession of money which he has acquired as a result of deceiving or assaulting others through theft or embezzlement, for instance, then he must return it to its legal owners as long as he knows them and can do so without incurring any harm whatsoever upon himself. Even if he has committed such an injustice before embracing Islam, the money he has taken from other people wrongfully is still in his possession, and he must thus return it to its legitimate owners. As the Quran states, Allah commands you to deliver trusts back to their owners. Surat An-Nisa, 4:58. If, however, he does not know its rightful owners, after exhausting all possible ways to find out who they are, he can get rid of it by giving it away to charity. Gambling. What is gambling? Gambling is the act of risking money upon the outcome of a contest of chance. In this way, a person risks money upon an agreement that he, or someone else, will receive something of value in the event of a certain outcome. Put simply, gambling involves betting that must result either in a gain or a loss, and the gambler profits solely at another person's loss. The Islamic ruling on gambling. Gambling is strictly forbidden, as supported by textual evidence from the Quran and the Prophet's traditions, including the following. 1. Allah considers the sin of engaging in gambling to be far greater than the profit gained from it. As the Quran states, they will ask you about alcoholic drinks and gambling. Say, there is great wrong in both of them, and also certain benefits for mankind. But the wrong in them is greater than the benefit. Surat Al-Baqarah, 2:219. 2. Allah considers it to be a type of filth and abomination due to its detrimental effects on the individual and society, and commands the faithful to avoid it, as it sows enmity and hatred amongst them, and turns them away from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. As the Quran states, O you who believe, intoxicants, gambling, stone altars, and divining arrows are abominations devised by Satan. Avoid them, so that you may be successful. Satan only seeks to sow enmity and hatred among you by means of wine and gambling, and to keep you from the remembrance of God and from your prayers. Will you not then abstain? Surat Al-Ma'idah 5:90-1. Detrimental effects of gambling on the individual and society. Gambling has numerous adverse effects on the individual and society, including the following. 1. It precipitates enmity and hatred among gamblers, for when friends gamble and one of them wins and takes their money, they will undoubtedly feel hatred towards him and hold grudges against him, and even plot against him and harm him. This is a known fact that is based upon observation. The Quran states in this context, Satan only seeks to sow enmity and hatred among you by means of wine and gambling. Besides, it distracts from the obligatory prayers and the remembrance of Allah, as the Quran states in the context of mentioning Satan's tireless effort to make gambling look good to man, and to keep you from the remembrance of Allah and from your prayers. Will you not then abstain? Surat Al-Ma'idah 5:90-1. 2. It destroys wealth and causes gamblers to suffer heavy financial losses and personal or legal problems. 3. The thrill of gambling and the possibility of winning becomes addictive. If the gambler wins, he becomes greedier and gets carried away, hopeful to acquire more ill-gotten gains. If he loses, he does not give up easily and carries on gambling in the hope of getting back what he has lost. Both gain and loss stand in the way of productive work and constitute a creeping evil that destroys society. Types of gambling. Types of gambling, past and present, are many, and modern forms of gambling include the following. 1. Playing a game in which players stipulate that the winner will take some money. For instance, a group of people have a game of cards, each one of them setting aside a certain amount of money, and the winner takes all of it. 2. Betting, which is the act of risking money on the unknown result of an event. For instance, each gambler places a bet on a certain team in, say, a football match, and one can only win the bet if the team on which the bet is placed wins, otherwise the bet is lost, which means loss of money. 3. Lottery, which is a type of gambling that has the element of chance. In a lottery, lots, usually in the form of tickets, are purchased, and a lot is randomly selected to win a prize, usually a large sum of money. For instance, one purchases a ticket for £1 in the hope of winning £1,000. 4. All types of gambling without exception, casino or non-casino gambling games, such as electronic and online gambling, involve money that gamblers can either win or lose. Examples of business ethics which Islam has stressed. Islam instructs its followers to observe certain ethics when they engage in financial transactions, including the following. Honesty. Islam requires its adherents to be honest in their dealings with Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Indeed, honesty is one of the most important moral principles which testifies to a Muslim's devoutness. Its importance is indicated in a number of Quranic verses and traditions of the Prophet, including the following. Allah says, Allah commands you to deliver trusts back to their owners. Surat An-Nisa 4:58. The Prophet considers betraying the trust as one of the signs of hypocrisy. The signs of the hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he promises, he breaks his promise. And when he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. Sahih al-Bukhari 33. Sahih Muslim 59. Honesty is among the characteristics of the believers whom Allah calls successful, because they honor their trusts and their contracts, among other traits. Surat Al-Mu'minun 23:8. It is for this reason that the Prophet considers those who do not fulfill the terms and conditions of the trusts which are placed in their charge to have no faith. The person who does not fulfill the terms of his trust has no faith. Sunan Ahmad 12:567. The Prophet was known by his honorific title of As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful and trustworthy, before the advent of Islam, for he was the epitome of honesty in all his dealings. Truthfulness. Truthfulness and transparency are among the virtues that Islam has stressed. The Prophet said, "The seller and the buyer have the right to keep or return goods as long as they have not parted, and if both parties speak the truth and describe the defects and qualities of the goods, their transaction will be blessed. However, if they tell lies or hide something, their transaction will be deprived of all blessings." Sahih al-Bukhari, 1973. Sahih Muslim, 1532. He also said, "Be truthful, for truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. A man keeps on telling the truth until he becomes known as a truthful person." Sahih Muslim, 2607. Some traders often have recourse to swearing falsely, claiming that their merchandise is of good quality in order to persuade the buyers to purchase it. Islam considers such an act one of the major sins. As the Prophet said, "Allah will not speak to three types of people on the Day of Judgment, nor will He look at them, nor purify them, and they will have a severe punishment." Amongst these types, he mentioned those who swear falsely in order to sell their goods. Sahih Muslim, 106. Proficiency. A Muslim, no matter what his occupation may be, must carry out his duties with efficiency and to the best of his ability, making efficiency his guiding principle in all his endeavors. Allah has prescribed proficiency in all things and requires Muslims to observe it in all aspects of life, even when doing things that may, on the surface, seem unimportant, such as hunting and slaughtering. The Prophet said in this regard, "Allah has prescribed proficiency in all things. Thus, if you kill, kill well, and if you slaughter, slaughter well. Let each one of you sharpen his blade, and let him spare suffering to the animal he slaughters." Sahih Muslim, 1955. Once he attended the funeral of a man and gave instructions to his companions to level the grave and carry out the burial process efficiently. Then he turned to them and said, "Doing so will neither benefit the deceased nor harm him. However, if a worker does any work, Allah loves to see him do it well and with efficiency." Al-Bayhaqi Shu'ab al-Iman, 5315. Another narration reads, "If any of you undertakes to do any work, Allah loves to see him do it well and with efficiency." Musnad Abu Yalla, 4386. Al-Bayhaqi's Shu'ab al-Iman, 4312.